Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, is Samach Chet. We're holding today at the Halakha Mishnah at the beginning of our new perek, Klal Gadol. We're still holding at the bottom, five lines up, on Samach Zayin Amud Beit. So we have finished basically the introduction to all of the main ideas of the Masechet in terms of Hotzah and the Hachona aspects of Shabbos, and we move on now to understand the various components of Shabbos. Now, as we mentioned earlier, Shabbos is extremely sophisticated in that it requires us to do very careful analysis of how we define sets and subsets in terms of oves, melachos, and toldos. And this is going to be extremely important in deciding a really practical halacha. Because, as we're going to see, the Torah defines the components of Shabbos, and this were medayik from the strange pasuk, the asa me'achat me'ela, as we're going to see, what in the world does me'achat me'ela mean? And that means that the Torah is breaking up the aspects of Shabbos into eles, achas, achas me'eles, and part of an achas, which already tells us that we're going to have to understand the various components. So remember, in terms of the Malachit Machshevet, there would be various things that are part of a Malachit Machshevet. Number one, you have to know the concept of Shabbos in order to be able to start defining the sets of Malachas that occur within Shabbos. Because we see from that pasuk that the concept of Shabbos is not equal to the aggregate notion of not doing Malacha. There's a concept of Shabbos that would be included, as we're going to see later, in the very fact that there is Kiddush v'Havdalah. That means that there is something about Shabbos. The Gabbai has been very lax in getting the Rebbe to actually show up. Now, I'm wondering if it has something to do with the haircut, and the Rebbe no longer recognizes the Gabbai, but we hope he'll be able to get his job done soon. So remember, we have a concept called Shabbos. And then we have the things that occur within that concept, which is, of course, each malacha. The definition of that malacha leads us to define subsets, which are called toldos. And we're going to see why it's important for us to know about that. And then we need to actually have a connectedness to the time of the week and know that this day is the day that is Shabbos. Now, when we talk about the concept of a shogeg, and a shogeg is chayev chatas, and it's that pasuk that makes these distinctions in Shabbos, me'achat me'ela v'yasa, me'achat me'ela, we're going to be medayik later on, that means that we need to define precisely what was your mistake. Now, there's many ways to make a mistake about Shabbos. You may not know about the notion of Shabbos. Never heard of it. You may know because you learned in school about a notion of Shabbos, but you forgot it. You may know the notion of Shabbos, but not know that today is Shabbos. You may know that today is Shabbos, but you don't know that any of these melachas are part of the Isser Shabbos. You think Shabbos has something to do with keeping yourself in a holy state of mind and watching less TV or something like that. So now each one of those is a different way of approaching what you did wrong by not keeping Shabbos. And that is what's b'chayev you, the korban. It's not the fact of the chilul Shabbos that defines the korban. So that, let's say, a person would be mechalel Shabbos in 20 different ways, by doing 20 different melachos. He goes out to his field and he does everything you could possibly do wrong in that field. And then he comes into the house after he's cut down the things that he grew and he makes challah and he does another 10 things that he wasn't allowed to do. So he's been mechallel Shabbos in so many different ways. Does he bring a korban in each one of those melachas because each one was a different act of Shabbos? Is it the act or is it the knowledge that this act is usher? Because it's another question. Suppose you did the Chilul Shabbos in the same way 10 times, not knowing at each time that this was usher, but knowing perfectly well that it was Shabbos and what Shabbos means and that there are other melachos on Shabbos. Is each one of the acts a Chilul Shabbos? Well, that depends. If in between one act and the other, you discovered that this act was prohibited and then forgot again, it would be two forgettings. So again, the nature of the chatas is for what was forgotten. It was the ha'aloma of what you once knew, the lo yada. So that would be the question that would define the number of chataot. So that means what we've got to think about is we have three separate possibilities in terms of the chiyuvim, but we have four possible cases. So that we have somebody who never heard of Shabbos. So that would be a tinak shenishba, or perhaps a ger that was nizgayer with some type of conservative giur, where they didn't bother telling him anything about the mitzvah of Shabbos. That would be the maximal forgetting. Is that forgetting? I mean, you never knew. Is the Torah mechayev you on never knowing? That's not clear. But that would be category one, maximal shogeg. Gosh, I never even knew such thing existed. The next thing would be, you learned about Shabbos and forgot. You forgot the meaning of what it is. Oh, yes, Shabbos, I learned about that. You're not supposed to do malachas on Shabbos and so on and so forth. Yes, you have no idea what those malachas are, perhaps, but you did learn about Shabbos. So now you forgot the Shabbos. That's category two. Then you might not have remembered that today is Shabbos. You thought it was Friday. So that's category three. You may know that today is Shabbos. You may know what Shabbos is about, but you didn't have the slightest idea that you're not allowed to go through your library and take out different books in order to put them into some other order, and that somehow or other that has something to do with Chilul Shabbos. So that's category four. You don't know that a particular thing is called a malacha. Category four. So we have four categories, but we only have three ways of dealing with those categories, which is either your shogeg is going to be for the fact that you were mechalel Shabbos in your life because there was only one thing that you forgot or didn't know, or the shogeg is going to be on the day of Shabbos that you were mechalel in no matter how many ways you were mechalel it, or the shogeg is in terms of the malacha that you did and the fact that this particular act was usur. Now, you must admit that there are some particular acts that are usur because they're subcategories of a malacha, but who would think that they're subcategories of a malacha? I mean, when the Torah talks about a malacha, it strikes you as being one particular thing, and you have no idea that opening your radiator on Shabbos, which is going to cook the metal of the radiator, perhaps be mechayev you on bishul matechet, that's a malacha? That has something to do with baking bread? That's crazy. So now, would you be chayev if you baked bread and opened the radiator on Shabbos separately? I mean, there's two different shkogas. So that's another question. So the idea of being chayev for each particular category is now an extremely important idea because ultimately, since forgetting is also connected to what it is that you needed to know and what constitutes a malacha, which is maleches machsheves, the very fact of the sophisticated categorization, which is the essence of Shabbos, will completely change how we view what it was that your mistake was. So again, on the logistical level, I made 10 different mistakes about the same ideas, but I had no idea that those ideas were related. That's all very nice, again, on a logistical, unsophisticated level. But that's not what Chilul Shabbos is about. Chilul Shabbos is not knowing the malacha b'chshavas that you're doing is usur. It's not about not understanding the details of malachas b'chshavas. So because of that, we have that category four would include each malacha, but only in terms of the sets of malachas, not in terms of the particular ways in which you may have been hundreds of different ways without the slightest idea on your part that all of that was included under set number 17 in the Dinim of Shabbos, of which there are 39 sets. So as you can see, the introduction to the concept of the sets of Shabbos and how precisely to define them, the thing that needs to come first, and this is always confuses people about Masechet Shabbos, why the heck don't you just tell us what the malachas of Shabbos are? You know, so start the Maseches off. There are 39 Melachos of Shabbos, like anybody who's going to teach kids is going to teach, because it's completely misleading to do that, because that is not what Shabbos consists of, and that's the whole point. So first understanding the elements of what it is that the awareness of Melachos Machsheves is Mechayev, only then can you turn to the next topic, which, okay, so now let's define those sets, and then we get into the subsets, which are the details, and so on. That's very complex. But that's not how to start the Masechet. So the way that we've been understanding the Masechet means that it makes tremendous sense from the conceptual point of view, how it is that Rebbe set up, that's the Seder, set up the Seder of the Masechet here within the Seder of Moed. So let's begin with the words klal gadol, which is a very strange way of saying something. What do you mean gadol? We've got this big rule. Is it a big rule or a small rule? I mean, what would that mean exactly? That, of course, is going to bother the Gemara. But anyway, there's this big rule about Shabbos, okay? And here's how it goes. And, of course, Rebbe does a magnificent job of making it totally opaque, so we don't really understand what he's saying, because we've got to fit our four categories into three sets in the Mishnah. So this is going to give us a lot of exciting things to think about today. So here's the klal. Kol ha-shocheach ikar Shabbat. If you forgot the concept of Shabbos, and you did a lot of different melachas on a lot of different Shabbatot, for the past 596 Shabbatot, I did all the malachas, 39 malachas, every single one of those Shabbats. But I never really had remembered the idea of Shabbos at all. Eino chayav ela chatat echat. All you bring is one korban chatas on the one mistake. The one mistake was the concept of Shabbos. I forgot the concept of Shabbos. Not on the action. So the Korban Chatas revolves around your involvement in the action, which is similar to the whole notion of Shabbos anyway. Now, what if you're Yodea Ikar Shabbat, you know about Shabbos, but you did a lot of different melachas on many different Shabbatot. Then you would be chayev on every Shabbos. Now, what does this mean? You didn't tell me what the mistake was. You see how opaque it is? Now, there's two possible ways for me to understand this piece. And that would be that maybe the first case was talking about never having known about Shabbos. And the second case is talking about having known about Shabbos and forgetting, and then viewing each one of those Shabbatot as a new forgetting. Because after all, if I once knew about it, certainly in the days between the first Shabbos and the 38th Shabbos that I was Mechallel Shabbos, I could have known and remembered. And every time it comes to the people singing outdoors, the Kabbalah Shabbos, I could have thought about what that meant, and I didn't. So maybe that's a different shikha, and therefore different chatas, and maybe I have to bring a korban on the very fact that time has passed, and I still didn't remember, idiot. After learning all about it in the third grade, you still didn't remember that it was Shabbos. So maybe I'm chayev for each one of those Shabbatot. Or maybe the other way to look at it is, actually the first part included both level one and level two. That is to say, the first thing that said kol ha-shocheach ikar Shabbos meant I didn't ever know about Shabbos, or I knew about Shabbos and I forgot that it was Shabbos. I mean, I forgot the idea of Shabbos. Both of those are the same category, one and two. I bring one korban. The next category, even though it doesn't say beferish, but Yodea Ikar Shabbos would mean either, in this case, if I learn it that way, then Yodea Ikar Shabbos, what would be the mistake? The mistake must be that I didn't know that today was Shabbos, which fits in very well into the opening of the third level of the Mishnah, which is HaYodea Shehu Shabbat, you know that today is Shabbat. Ah! So in other words, the case before was talking about that you did not know that today was Shabbat. You just didn't tell us that, but we're meant to figure it out from the next words in the third case in the Mishnah. If you did know that it was Shabbat, meaning that in the previous case, I did not know that it was Shabbat, and therefore, even if I knew that the particular melachot that I did were melachot or asra on Shabbat, but my mistake wasn't about that, My mistake was not knowing that today is Shabbat. So what's the difference how many malachas I did? I wouldn't have not done the malacha anyway because I think it's Friday. So therefore, there's only one mistake. So that means that the Mishnah is hinting that level two, by telling us that level three is definitely talking about a case where I know it's Shabbos, then that implies that level two was talking about I did not know that today was Shabbos. Which means that the Mishnah seems to be suggesting that in terms of the category of how much I have forgotten, the first and the second ought to be included in level one of the Mishnah. The second is not knowing it's Shabbos, that's level two of the Mishnah. And the third is knowing that it's Shabbos, knowing about Shabbos, but not knowing that this malacha is awesome. And there I would be chayiv on every single malacha. So ha-yodea shu Shabbat. So then you would be chayev on every single malacha, but not really on every single category of malacha. I'll call av malacha. Now, when it says an av malacha, do not mistake that to mean what it usually means, an av as opposed to a tolda, because we haven't introduced that concept yet. The nature of av always means what is called in modern Hebrew an av tipus, a prototype. So here, the nature of av simply means on each set. Obviously, right? Archetype we use for a human as an archetype. Here we're talking about, but yeah, you call it an archetype. I don't think that it's the more correct term. For the avais of the Uma, we call them archetypes. But yeah, it's also a type of a concept of archetype. So over here, what we do is we look at the categories, and that would mean that you were mechuyev on every category. Doesn't matter whether you did the category by being over on the av of the category or on the told of the category. That's irrelevant to this description. But the problem of what you forgot was the malacha, and therefore that is what it is that you're going to bring your carbon for. If you do the same category in many different ways, you would only be chayev once. So, first of all, the Gemara is concerned with the fact that we talk about big generalities. How are there big generalities and small generalities? Well, what does exactly that mean? A klal gadol. So why do we use that word? I mean, I know what you're going to tell me, but you're wrong. What you're going to tell me is that since the perek continues with the words va'od klal acher amru, there was another klal that they said, and that one wasn't as inclusive, so we called this one, look, there's the big klal, and then there's the other things that are less general. And that's why it said klal gadol, so you would be able to differentiate between them. And that would explain also another thing, because we also find by Shvius, interestingly, the same type of idea, where we talk about a klal gadol, and it means since there was another klal that was less choshev in the Mishnah, the next Mishnah in Shvius, says the same thing that our next Mishnah says, va'od klal acher. So you'll tell me, see, I'm right. Wherever you have a klal that is followed by another klal, the more extensive klal that's initially presented is called the klal gadol, and the lesser klal is the od klal acher. So it's just a matter of speech. You're wrong, because I'll prove to you from the case of Meiser that that's not true. By Meiser, we have exactly the same thing, and it does not say in the two Mishnayos of Meiser, klal gadol. It just says klal. So now, and according to you, and by the way, if you look over there, you will see that the second klal is nowhere near as inclusive as the first, and nonetheless, lo tani klal gadol. So it is not a matter of a figure of speech. The Mishnah does not make this the way in which it speaks. So what then is the reason? Amar Rabbi Yossi bar Ovin, your very examples contain the solution to the question. Klal gadol is only used where we need to deal with sets. And that's why it's called klal gadol, because the sets themselves are klalim. So I can't, it's a little bit silly for me to start talking about there's a kolal. I mean, what do you think oves and malachas and toldos are if they're not kololim themselves? I mean, how could I possibly talk about them as kololim without being sounding silly? The whole point is that we're talking about sets. Each set is a kolal, and each tolda would be a prat within that kolal. So obviously, what we want to do is distinguish where you've got oves and toldos, which exist both by Shabbat and by Shmiyas. And the first rule, both in Shabbat and by Shmiyas, is the rule that explains issues that have to do with sets. Therefore, we call that klal a klal gadol. Now you want to know other klalim that deal with issues? Those are klalim, fine. So there's another klal in this. But that itself puts you on notice that we're dealing with complex material that has the upper overarching klal, that itself defines the nature of your relationship to the sets and subsets that the klal includes. So therefore, Shabbat v'shvi'it di'it buhu ovos v'toldos. Over there it says gadol. Ma'aser, the fact that a klal is broader, is not a good enough reason to call it a klal gadol. I mean, there's no objective determination of what's gadol and katan, for heaven's sake, so why bother talking about it? And therefore, ma'aser, that does not have a set, over there, let be avot v'toldot, we cannot use the word a major rule. A major, it's just a rule. Wait a minute, says the Gemara. That's beautiful. But Bar Kappara apparently doesn't seem to be aware of it, because Bar Kappara, who's got, remember that Bar Kappara created an entire competitive Mishnah to Rebbe, which became the Braita of Bar Kappara. So Bar Kappara, in his version of this, when he has his Braita about Meiser, it says, Klal Gadol B'Maaser. So how could that be? My Avot U'Mai Toledot. So how in the world could he call it a Klal Gadol at all when the Mishnah did not, for the very reason that you're claiming is Avot V'Toldot? Apparently, Avot V'Toldot are not essential for the word Klal Gadol to be used. At least we see that from Bar Kappara. Therefore, it must be application that's different. So perhaps, at least according to Bar Kappara, maybe once we see it's true of Bar Kappara, we might as well give up on our beautiful explanation and accept a more prosaic explanation. That maybe the point is, El Alav Hainu Taima. This must be the reason that Gadol on Shoshel Shabbat Yoter Mishel Shvi'it. When we say Klal Gadol, we mean a klal gadol as opposed to other places where there's also a klal that defines the breadth of this klal, not in terms of the relative meaning of the klal gadol of Shabbos versus the klal katan of Shabbos, or the klal gadol of Shvi'is versus the klal katan of Shvi'is, rather to allow the reader to understand that each sugya has to be seen relative to other sugyas. So therefore, if you're talking, if you're learning Shabbos, you should know that I'm about to tell you something that is extremely broad, broader than what you will meet in other broad klalim, which would mean you've got to keep in mind the difference between Shabbos and Shvi'is, because Shabbos has application to a much broader range of issues than Shvi'is does. I mean, Shabbos obviously is going to apply to things that are connected to the ground and are not connected to the ground. It has absolutely nothing to do with being connected to the ground, except in those particular malachas. Shvi'is, by definition, are only about things connected to the ground at the point of the beginning of the Shvi'is. So therefore, it's coming to tell me that Shvi'is has a much broader application than Meiser does. And why is that? Because Shvi'is would obtain both in cases of human and animal food, which is the whole point, kala l'chaya min hatzadeh, kalei l'vehemtecha min habayit, and so on. Whereas Maaser, there is no chiev of Maaser on animal food at all, and therefore it is much more limited. So midiraisa, only the chamisha minei dagan, and two other things, which would be anavim and Zeitim, would not include some of the other things that we have, even if they're part of the Shivas Haminim, and according to some, only not really on Anavim v'Zeitim, but only actual olive oil or wine. Fine. So it's a Klal Gadol. And according to Bar Kappara, who calls Meiser Klal Gadol, what is he comparing Meiser to? And he wants you to recognize that Meiser is broader. I'll tell you. Meiser is broader than Peah. Because Maaser, you have both on Te'ena V'Yerek. Whereas Peah, you do not have on Te'ena V'Yerek. Now, this is talking about the Rabbanan extension of the Dinim of Meiser and Peah. So that even if Meiser Midiraisa would not be on Meiser, on, and we'll see in a moment why we're talking about a Te'ena specifically, and on Vegelis, Ma'ashe'enkein, the Rabbanan that made Yuchayev and Meiser even on a Te'ena, and even on veggies, did not do the same thing when it came to Peah. So if you're growing vegetables, there is no chiyuv of leaving Peah. And if you're growing the Te'enim, you're growing figs, there's no chiyuv. Now, the reason is because we learned out from the Pasuk that there needs to be a kitsira, one act of bringing in your things, your fruit. A Te'ena is a very strange kind of tree in which it constantly, by the hour, will bring forth different figs that you could not have picked an hour before. So that's why we call the summer the kayetz. The kayetz actually means the fig picking, because the entire summer you're being given these figs. So there is no lekitatoka achat. There's no particular time that you will bring your figs in, and therefore there's no chiyav of meiser. The Rabbanim made a chiyav of meiser, but not for Peah. Why did the Rabbanan not make it for Peah? Because it would be a terrible disaster if the poor would be sitting around waiting for you to leave a Peah from your Te'ena, because they'll sit all summer. There's no particular time. So it would be very destructive for the Rabbanan to say, give your Peah to the Aniyim. What about veggies? Well, it says in the Pasuk, when you bring things into your storage houses, you don't bring vegetables into storage houses, because in a week the veggie will be dead and gone and useless. Therefore, there's no chiyav on it. So where it comes to Peah, where over there you're much more likely to lose out if you're sitting around waiting for veggies that are going to all just rot and aren't worth very much, don't get them while they're fresh. The Rabbanan did not make a takana for Aniyim, because Peah means the Ani has to wait and hope. Meiser means you give it to the Ani. And over there, look, if you've got some fresh lettuce, then why not be Machai of you to give the fresh lettuce? There's no problem in Rabbanim being Gozer. But what this boils down to is the fact that the broader Chiyav is a Chiyav of Maaser than it is by Peah. We could see this in our Mishnah, Klal Amru BePeah. What's the rule by Peah? Now, there's a lot of detail here. First of all, it has to be ochel. Ochel means it must be essentially a human edible food, as opposed to ochel amute svicha satis vekotza. This would not include these various dye stuffs, which, as Tosis points out, they may be edible, but they're not usually used for eating. They're used to their roots for dyeing. Furthermore, it needs to be nishmar. Nishmar means it needs to be something that you're watching, as opposed to something that grew wild or that you were mafkir. It also has to be something that grows from the ground, which excludes fungi. So that excludes kimeim and pitriot, which do not have any chiyev because they don't grow from the ground, even though they grow on the ground. And furthermore, likitato ka'achat, it needs to be gathered together in one time. That excludes figs. Umachniso likiyum, that it has to be able to be stored and brought in for a long period. That excludes veggies. Now, when it comes to meiser, however, the klal is much more limited. Klal amru b'maaser. Koshu ochel v'nishmar v'gidolo min ha'aretz chayav b'maaser. Note that it clearly left out likitato ka'achat. It does not have to be collectible all at once. So in other words, the te'ena is fine when it comes to chiyav of maaser. And it doesn't mention machliso l'kiyum either, which means the vegetables would be chayav. So according to Bar Kappara, even though what we're talking about over here are extensions of the din midrabanan, we also use the word klal gadol in order to alert the reader to understand that this is broader than other sugyas in this same area, which would be Peah. Okay, Now that we've understood the first words of the Mishnah, Klal Gadol, how about moving on to the content of the Mishnah? Okay, so the Gemara now moves on to the different stages of the Mishnah. The first stage was you forgot the concept of Shabbos. Then you bring only one chatas for any chilul Shabbos that you do, no matter how many malachas there were, no matter how many Shabbatot there were, there's one chi of chatas. And we pointed out that there are two possible levels that are included in this din. One is that you never knew or heard of the concept of Shabbos, and the other is that you did, but you forgot. And it's not clear whether forgetting something that you knew is going to be one chatas for all the Shabbatot. Now, why? I mean, isn't it essentially the same thing? It's the difference. You didn't know, or you knew, but you forgot. There's two reasons that it would be different. Reason number one is that if I never knew something at all, there's a possibility that that is not considered to be a shoge. Because if the concept didn't exist in my mind, why would I look around to try to find out anything about it? What would be the moral responsibility that I had to conceptualize something that is completely out of my experience? So on the one hand, that might be considered not to be a shogeg at all. Maybe that would be closer to the concept of ones, in which I have no personal responsibility, and therefore there is no chatas. That's one possibility. The other possibility is in the opposite direction, that perhaps the only time that you only missed out on one issue was where you never knew about Shabbos and should have known. But how about if you did know it was Shabbos, and then you forgot the concept of Shabbos, and then you forgot on the first Shabbos in your life, you forgot that you had learned all about it. Okay. Now 7 days pass and it's Shabbos again. Is the stimulant of Shabbos itself enough to be mechayev you again to remember? Because if it's enough to be mechayev you again to remember, then you would be chayev on every single Shabbat, even though you had forgotten the first Shabbat, and you'd say, but it's the same forgetting. Well, it's the same forgetting, but there was certainly a new demand upon you to remember in the course of the past 7 days as Shabbos is coming closer and you're looking at the calendar and it says that Hadlokas Neiris and so on and so forth, that you should start thinking about the fact that that has implications. And therefore, that technical term, please, to put into your list of technical terms, munachim, is called Yamim Shebenatayim Have Yedi'ah. The first phrase is Yedi'ah. That should be included. Yediyah is a technical term here, obviously, when we're using it in a technical way, and it means that which constitutes something that you should have responded to, even if you didn't. That's yediyah. So yamim shebeinatayim havin yediyah is another concept, which is the very fact that time has passed in between in which you were capable of discovering your error and stimulated by something to discover your error, is itself considered to be the equivalent of a full awareness that you once again went out and forgot. So the question over here is, if category one of the Mishnah includes the idea of someone who never knew, then is the level two of someone who did know but forgot, is that part of category one, in which you would be chayev only once, no matter how many chilul Shabbos you did? Or is that part of category two, because the days in between were sufficient stimulus to have you remember about Shabbos, and therefore you can't say, well, I forgot once, so I forgot forever. Not true. Each Shabbos perhaps is viewed as a separate forgetting. So as you can see, there's two very different ways that are dependent on two different elements. One being the question of whether lack of knowledge of an idea, again, put this down, please, in your list, lack of knowledge and idea is called Omer Mutar. Someone says, I never knew. He assumed that it was Mutar. So is lack of knowledge of an idea considered to be a shogeg, or is it considered to be something that's even less than shogeg, and the Torah was never mechayev you for something that was less than shogeg. This is the way that Rashi understands the difference in the categories. Tosfos disagrees and says that there's a fifth issue, which is beyond the question of whether Omer Mutter is considered to be a shogeg, and that has to do with the nature of Shabbos itself, which we'll talk about as we get there. But as we can see, we don't know what the Mishnah means. So let's talk about the beginning of an approach in Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel says, the case in the Mishnah is referring to a tinok shenishba leben hanochrim, v'ger shenitgayer leben hanochrim. So that means the case of the Mishnah includes somebody or is only about somebody? That part isn't clear. But this first case of the Mishnah is referring to somebody who never knew about Shabbos. That's the point. However, if he did know about Shabbos, then he is considered to be category two of the Mishnah, because then he's chayev on every single one of the Shabbatot. If he once knew about it and forgot, chayav al kol Shabbat v'Shabbat, because he certainly could have realized that the idea is impossible for me to know. So you'd be chayev on each one. Maybe. There, again, because all of this turns out to be based on the way we analyze the pasuk of me'achat, me'hena, so it may very well be that we need to categorize ourselves, the distinction between four categories, in only three possibilities. Again, the perek is going to be saying what are the things that we need to take into consideration. But what Rav and Shmuel are saying is that the category one, in which I bring only one chatas for all chataot, is referring to a level one lack of knowledge. I never knew. But level two lack of knowledge, I did know, but I forgot the idea, is mechayev you for some reason. Maybe it's Gzeiras HaKosev, maybe it's because B'yomi Ben HaTayim, but if you once knew, you'd have to bring a chatas on every Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, how do you understand those words in the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, if you forgot, it doesn't say if you didn't know, it says, HaShokheach Ika Shabbat, that was the opening case. And that means, I mean, as far as I know, forgetting something means you once knew it. So if it says HaShokheach Ika Shabbat, doesn't that mean by definition, Lav Michlal Dahavila Yidia Meikara, that at one point or another he did know about the concept of Shabbos and now he forgot it? Says Rav and Shmuel, no. The Mishnah is using the word Shokheach here loosely, because Shokheach ultimately in the context of Shabbos simply means a lack of awareness. And therefore, what Shokheach would mean in the first case of the Mishnah, in order to make it parallel to the usage of Shokheach that today is Shabbos, Shokheach that this is a Malach, and so on and so forth, that would be simply the word Shokhuach Mimenu. Daita Shokhuach Mimenu Ikra Shabbat. He never knew. Okay, now, excuse me, Rav and Shmuel, but what are you saying? That if, in fact, he once knew and then he forgot, then what's the halach, according to you, is that that becomes category two of the Mishnah, and then you're chayav al kol Shabbat v'Shabbat. Now, so how do you understand the Mishnah then? The Mishnah says, Hayodea ikar Shabbat, v'yasa melachot harbe, v'shabbatot harbe, chayav al kol Shabbat v'Shabbat. Now, that, it's true, it's a little opaque, but from the next words that say, Hayodea shehu Shabbat, remember, we were medayik that this middle section, the category two in the Mishnah, is referring to somebody who forgot that today is Shabbat. But according to you, that should be, well, obviously, if you forgot today is Shabbat, then you're going to be chayav on today as a separate forgetting. I mean, shouldn't the Mishnah say a tremendous chiddush that if you did not forget that today was Shabbat, but you forgot the implications of the fact that Saturday is Shabbat, because you forgot the Iker Shabbos, according to you, you're responsible on every single one of those Shabbatot separately. So why would we talk about a case you forgot today is Shabbos if we could have talked about a much bigger Kiddush? You knew today was Shabbos. You didn't know today was Shabbos. It's irrelevant. The question over here is that you forgot again, you jerk. You forgot the idea of Shabbos, you idiot. Now you're going to bring a separate carbon for the Shabbos. Whether you knew that it's Saturday or you thought it was Friday, it's irrelevant. Isn't the Mishnah, by saying that case, kol shekein, it would be obviously that it would include a case where you actually forgot that today is Shabbos, where you knew that there was a concept called Shabbos. Obviously, I'm going to bring a carbon on that. Says the Gemara, well, Rav and Shmuel understand that the meaning of the words Hayodea Ikar Shabbat means Hayayodea Ikra Shabbat v'shichachat. You who insist that the Mishnah is talking about a case that you forgot that today is Shabbat. Did the Mishnah ever say that? Look at the second case. We saw initially that it was opaque. What the heck did I forget? You didn't say. So when it says that Hayodea Iker Shabbat, that's the point that it's pointing to. You once knew the concept of Shabbos, and then you forgot it, and then you were chayiv on every single one of the Shabbatot. So then that means that the Mishnah is telling us two major chidushim, according to Rav Shmuel. Major chidush one in category one of the Mishnah is that even if you never knew about something, you're still responsible for it once. So you'll bring one korban chatas for all of the Shabbatot. The other big chiddush in category number two is that even though you made only one big mistake in your life, which is you forgot that you had learned about Shabbos, you'd be chayev on that mistake every single Shabbos. So that's two tremendous chiddushim in the Mishnah. Okay, but let me ask you something. What do you hold would be the din if you did not forget the Ikra Shel Shabbos? Lo shakacha. You forgot that today was Shabbos. Because remember, according to you, the Mishnah never said anything about forgetting that today was Shabbos. The case in the Mishnah, according to you, is I'm chayav on every Shabbos because I forgot the idea of Shabbos. Okay, but what if I didn't forget the idea of Shabbos? I knew the idea of Shabbos, and I forgot that today was Saturday instead of Friday. So I lost track of the days. What's the deal according to you? Yours seem to be implying that that would be included in Category 3, not in Category 2, and that I would be chayev on every single malacha, despite the fact that I made one mistake, which is in the identification of what day of the week it was, right? So then you would be saying, chayev al kol malacha o malacha. So then in the third category, the Mishnah is completely off the wall. Why would the Mishnah tell me, but if you know that today is Shabbos, and you did a lot of different malachas on many Shabboses, you would be chayev on every single one of those malachas. It could have said an amazing chiddush. Somebody who knew that there's the concept of Shabbos, and he didn't even know that today was Shabbos, he would still be chayev on every single malacha. And kol shekein, if he did know that today was Shabbos, then for sure he would be chayev on every single malacha. Why do I have to make the mistake in the not lack of knowing that this is a malacha? I can even make a much bigger chiddush. No, you didn't mistake the malacha. You forgot what the day was. Nonetheless, you're going to be chayav on every single malacha. I mean, so Rav and Shmuel are pushing us into an impossible situation. Therefore, let's forget about everything we just said, okay? The way to learn the Mishnah would have to be that the first category of the Mishnah is talking about that you did know once upon a time, you did know it was Shabbos, and then you forgot. That is category one. And Rav and Shmuel's case, where they say that you never even knew, did not mean that, and specifically that case is the case of level of category one. They were saying even that case is included in category one. So whether you once knew and forgot, or whether you never knew at all, you are included in category one, where your problem was the fact that you didn't know about the idea of Shabbos, either because you never learned it, or because you learned it and forgot it. That is category one. You bring one carbon. And we were wrong in trying to move down each level. So now we have a pretty reasonable thing. The Mishnah is not coming to tell me this big chiddush, which struck us as being a little bit problematic. It's not coming to tell us a big chiddush that if you forgot the concept of Shabbos, every single Shabbos is b'chayev of you. No, that's not true. If you forgot the concept of Shabbos, it's one problem for all the Shabbatot that you were mechala. The big chiddush of the Mishnah that Rav and Shmuel are pointing out is only the fact that I'm even ready to be mechayev of you one time for all of the Shabbatot, if you never ever heard of Shabbos and you grew up in the middle of a nunnery where they raised you and you never heard of Shabbos, doesn't matter. You'd still be chayav one. That's the Chiddush. But not the other thing that you'd be chayav on every Shabbos if you had once known it. And therefore, v'hachi yitmar, what Rav and Shmuel properly should have been reported as saying is this. Rav and Shmuel, the Amar Tavayo, afilu tinok, not only, even a tinok who was nishba ben anochrim, or he was a ger that went through a conservative giyur, and he was nidgayer leben anochrim, he's considered to be the equivalent of hikir lebesov shachach, and he would be chayev one korban chatas for all of the Shabbatot. And then category two, indeed, is he forgot it was Shabbos. Category three is he knew it was Shabbos, but he forgot the nature of the malacha. Now, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish disagree with that fundamental idea. And they say, no. The Mishnah means exactly what it says in category one. You forgot. But if you never forgot because you never knew, how could you forget? And if you didn't forget, then there's no chiev. So tinok shenishba ben anochrim, or ger shenitgayer levein anochrim, he is completely putter. And therefore, now that would mean that they would hold, this is how Rashi understands it, that they would hold that an omer mutter is considered to be an ones. He is not a shogeg. And therefore the Torah patterned him completely because of the fact that he never knew. And there's a tremendous difference. Obviously, the Torah is only mechayev on shigaga and not on ones. Okay. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. So what they were saying is that you are completely potter. Rav and Shmuel are saying you're chayev. The problem is that the Braita seems to knock out this possibility, because the Braita has the Klal Gadol as follows. Klal Gadol amru b'Shabbat. Kol ha-shocheach ikar Shabbat v'yasa malachot arbei b'Shabbatot arbei eno chayev ela achat. Quote from the Mishnah. The problem is that the Braita, as is its wont and purpose, explains it. Ketzad, what do we mean to include in this category? Whoops. Tinok shenishba leben anochrim, So here it says, beferish, a case where somebody never knew, or a ger shenitgayer ben anochrim, and he went ahead, v'yasam alachot harbeib, b'shabbatot harbeib, eno chayev ela chatat achat. So this is clearly saying that you are going to be chayev once as a tinok shenishba. And you would be chayev on every different type of chiyev karas in the Torah once. So all of the blood that you were drinking and all of the chalev that you ate and all of the avodah zorah that you did, this was one heck of a nunnery, let me tell you, all of this stuff that you did, you would be chayev one for each category. So you'd be chayev a chalev, a chat, now, Monbaz, however, has got a different approach. Monbaz says, no. You're not, if you didn't know about something, you're not chayev on it at all. And actually, Monbaz points out to Rabbi Akiva, now look, the Torah uses the word chote in a case of a guy who does something bemezid. Where is it used? Is it chote? I thought chatas is no. The Torah says that if somebody was shomea kol Allah, so it's v'nefesh ki techeta v'shama kol Allah, and we learned out that that means even b'mezid, the guy denies knowing testimony, and he's going to be included in that chiyev. Okay, now how do you explain the fact that even though he knows perfectly well that he does know testimony and denies it, he's called techeta? So you see that amazed is also called techeta. A shogeg is always called techeta. In so many psukim, the Torah talks about nefeshki techeta. So, but that means if I use the same word, that is the same concept. This is a wild story. So it's the same concept, says Moaz. So just like amazed obviously had to know about what he was doing in order for him to be amazed, a shogeg also had to at least known once about what he's doing. Oh, says Rabbi Akiva, that's brilliant, okay? I want to take your argument one step further because I think you haven't really explained it well. So let me add, Hareini Mosif al Dvarecha, and show you how idiotic this is. Let me add, okay? Just like a mazed once knew about it and knows about it as he does it, so too a shogeg not only once knew about it, he must know about it as he's doing it. Ha! Now surely you're not going to say something as stupid as that, says Monbaz. I didn't say it. You said it, and I happen to agree. 100%. You are right. Thank you. Yasher kochacha. Omalo, thanks. Koshiken show safta. You added to my words. I should have indeed brought it out. This was sort of a trap for Rabbi Akiva, turns out. Because that's exactly what I hold. Now, what in the world, according to Monbaz, would constitute a shogeg if full knowledge of what you're doing is wrong is considered to be is also considered to be a shogeg. So what is the actual shogeg that he's shogeg about? So Rabbi Akiva says, what? Oh, my Lord, the Dvorach, I understand. So what are you talking about? That's not a shogeg. That's amazing. Now you've completely broken down the combination of the considerations of Shkoga and Hazoda. But anyway, forgetting about the Monbaz jazz, let's just take a look at the opening of the Braita. The Braita says openly what Rav and Shmuel said. Tinok shenishbal v'anochrim ger shenitgayer. All of those things are also chayev according to one chatas, which is, that's what Rav and Shmuel said. But what are Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish going to do now that it says beferish in the Braita that the case of never having known is chayev, and they say never having known is not chayev? Well, says Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, I mean, the star of the show in this Braita is clearly Monbaz, isn't he? We all like Monbaz. So, there you go. Ananda Amrinan ke Monbaz. Look, I mean, Monbaz says, no, you're Potter in that case if you're a Tinak Shanishba. So, okay, so now we better start figuring out what Monbaz is talking about. What's he really saying? My time at the Monbaz. I mean, obviously the fact of the use of the language, as Rabbi Akiva pointed out to him, but you can't deny the simple meaning of the difference between a mason and a shogeg just because you find them both being called chote. That's crazy. Because then you're subverting the entire intent of what the Torah is talking about. You better have a better basis than that. So it turns out that the whole thing was a trap to get Rabbi Akiva to say that. And Monbaz's real reason is based on a hekesh. Now, a hekesh, you can't say it doesn't mean what it's saying. It means what it's saying. The Gezeirah Shavah, where it's not a real Gezeirah Shavah, just I find the same language, you're the same one. So good. I'm very happy, says Rabbi Akiva, you found the same language. So therefore, we should throw out the distinction of Shogeg and Mason. I mean, that's crazy. So what's his real reason? Ah, his real reason is like this. Remember that in Parsha Shlach, we have the words that say, Torah Achat, Yelechem la'ose bishkaga, and then it says, Va'nefesh asher ta'aseh, Biyad Rama. In the very next case, there's one din for someone who does things b'shogeg, plus somebody who does something with his high-handed approach to doing whatever the heck he wants to do. So that means that the Torah is making a hekesh between shogeg and mazid, openly, which has got to mean just like a mazid has a yediyah, a shogeg had to have had a yediyah. Sheesh. What does that mean? That we will discover only tomorrow.